When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Hello, morning practice, my old friend. We've come to talk with you again. Happened again today, Matt.
Did.
Bumping their practice up to 10:30 a.m. This is The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. We are live from Steelers training camp here at St. Vincent College. And, well, another morning practice. Of course, today, not in pads.
Yeah, so, yeah, you expect it to be lighter, and yeah. It was, huh? It makes perfect sense.
I think because of that, Matt, it was kind of like a little bit of a letdown.
Okay.
Kind of like the intensity level was there Monday and Tuesday.
A little more hitting.
And then today was kind of sloppy.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I once again was unable to see practice. I had some other responsibilities this morning. Hopefully they get back to this afternoon. But I am interested what you saw there. You know, when you said sloppy, it just not as intense or more just, drop passes, miss Simons.
That, like at one point, Mitch Trubisky, they went to go back to throw the football and it slipped out of his hand. And
okay.
Things like that.
Just yeah.
Silly stuff. There was another play where Mason Rudolph was in a shotgun and one of the down the line centers, like everybody else moves and the center didn't snap the ball. Those kind of things.
Yeah. I mean, details and, things happen, but if they all happen the same time, coaches lose their mind a little bit.
Yeah. Tomlin was a little
quite there. Yeah.
He was verbose today. Let's put it
that way. And it sounds like he should have been, like those kind of details need to be cleaned up. That's not okay. If they start happening in bunches, that's when coaches really lose their marbles, obviously. I heard good things about Kenny Pickett though.
He was fine.
Yeah.
Everybody's look. So here's the thing. So there's a bit of a crowd here today. I get it. So in one play, he rolls out or he gets pressured. A guy comes shooting and would have sacked him. He still keeps running with it. It's obviously they're not live today and they're not going to hit the quarterback.
Yeah. So the play
ends up throwing a pass down the sideline and the guy catches it and the fans react. Oh. He'd have been sacked like 6 times.
Right. Let's not pretend.
So there was another time they're just running like 3-on-3 stuff with kind of combo routes and things of that nature.
Okay.
With quarterbacks throwing.
Yeah. Half field stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He scrambled out of it. And like throw the football, and that's what Tomlin like. Hey, you got to throw the football.
Mm-hmm.
Like so. Again, I'm tapping brakes on the Kenny Pickett stuff.
Okay.
Like, he's been fine for a rookie.
He's made some throws.
But Mitch Trubisky is the starting quarterback on this football team. And guess what? Mason Rudolph had another nice day of throwing the football. Mason Rudolph's the number 2.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, that seems like a long shot for that to change, barring injury, of course.
In fact, rather, Rudolph had 2 of the better throws in his practice.
Like, really?
I think
he understands the NFL much better than Pickett does.
So it was Rudolph and Pickett both ran 2-minute drills today.
Okay.
And they both scored. But on Rudolph's, he made a couple of high level throws.
Did he?
Yeah.
Nice.
He hit George Pickens down the sidelines. About a 30-yard gain down the left side, the far sideline there. He came out, in fact, I think. Let me see here. He was 2-for-2 in 7 shots. The only two completions.
Talking about Rudolph still,
yeah,
right?
The only two completions the offense had.
Oh, wow.
Were by Rudolph. And then in that 2-minute drill, hits Calvin Austin for an 8-yard gain, hits Benny Snell for a 4-yard gain, then goes deep down the sideline. So, again, about a 35-yard gain to the 10 to George Pickens. Perfect throw.
Yeah.
Right down the sideline. Huh? Then comes back to Pickens again in the left end of the top end of the end zone there, left end from us. And Pickens kind of screens Levi Wallace off with one arm, tips the ball to himself.
Nice.
And catches it with one hand.
Wow.
And pulls it in with one hand as he's falling out of bounds. But it was placed exactly where George Pickens could make the play.
Wallace didn't have a chance.
Had no chance. I mean, it's great coverage.
And obviously a great play by Pickens and the body usage. And the
again, hand, it was Mason Rudolph understanding, like, this guy has a catch radius. I can throw that out there and get to. So he was 4 for 4.
On tough throws.
For 58 yards and a touchdown in a two-minute offense.
Okay. Like, and that's great. I mean, if there's been a knock on Mason, which has been very few, he's been consistent and he's been playing quite well. Was, you know, in the two-minute
tight end
stuff.
Yeah, when they get down to the red zone, he struggles.
He struggled a little bit more. And when, you know, higher important situations, maybe he wasn't at his best. So, you know, it sounds like he converted. He converted in 7 shots as well. So that's what you want to see from him, you know. But nobody wants to talk about that.
Nobody wants to talk about that.
Right. We can't, you know, root for this guy to get better and better and be a good quarterback. But
now, you know, to his credit, Pickett completed it was a pass to the left flat to Jalen Warren, and Jalen Warren whipped up the sideline for about a 40-yard gain.
He looked like he was shot out of a cannon.
Yeah, on the Jets and was down the sideline before the defense even knew what was going on.
Okay.
And then Pickett came back and hit a little post pattern to Steven Sims for the touchdown. So he scored in 2 plays.
Good, okay.
He had his moments. As he has every practice, but he has his rookie moments.
He's throwing the football well, though.
I don't have a problem with that. But for people's, tap the brakes with Kenny Pickett just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
When you're comparing him to the other guys,
he's behind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And to be expected. Again, we're not bashing on Kenny here.
But, no, not at all.
Where he should be. He should be behind the veterans who have been in the league for a while now. My take on that was, once again, sounds like two other rookies, not Pickett. Pickens and Warren shining.
They might be the two best rookies in camp.
It sure seems that way.
I mean, we heard Wesley Euler and Arthur Motes on the previous show there getting asked about, you know, can Jalen Warren make this roster? I'm here to tell you right now that Jalen Warren's making this roster.
Right. I think the question is, where does he end up on the depth
chart?
Yeah,
where is he at on the depth chart?
Yeah.
He's making the roster unless he gets hurt or something crazy happens.
What's his usage going to be in week one, I think, is more, you know, or will he be active? Will he be the two? You know, will he spell Najee some? I mean, how much are they going to use him and how do they plan to use him, I think, is more the question than is he going to be a Steeler this year?
Yeah, I mean, he ran an out-and-up route the drill work against Derek Tuska.
Mm-hmm.
And
you would think that'd be a mismatch. And
he got behind Tuska,
right?
But Tuska recovered. The ball was kind of thrown a little out there, and Tuska made a really nice play to catch up and get a hand and break it up. But, you know, they got Jalen Warren running an out and up, like 40 yards down the field.
Okay. So, I mean, you don't see many 5'8 guys doing those type of things, for one thing, especially with the big, thick
body
type. It's
a little Darren Sproles like.
Yeah, right. That's what I was actually thinking. And it keeps coming back to this, or I keep noticing this in a big way since we've been up here. The backs are not being used as just dump off.
No, they're running
guys
routes
at all. If it's McFarland, if it's Warren, I assume the same is true with Najee. I mean, we saw him lined up all over before he missed some time. That, you know, why. I think that's going to be an underappreciated story of the offense this year. It's not going to be Najee just kind of roaming a yard downfield in the flat there in case the quarterback gets in trouble.
They're catch
be
the running, ball and get hit in the back.
Right. They're going to be catching, you know, running distinct routes down the field.
Yeah, I actually talked to Anthony McFarland about that after practice today, and I said, you're running more wide receiver type routes.
Yeah, 100%.
He goes, yeah, I guess that's, you know, I guess you could say that. And I'm like, that kind of fits what your skill set is a little bit. And he's like, yeah, you know.
It's definitely good for him.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
I think it's a better way to showcase him. McNichols probably would have fit that mold as well. We haven't seen much of him.
And he's cut, yeah.
Yeah. He's gone now. Okay.
He's on IR.
Yeah. He's on IR, right. But he's out of sight, out of mind. So I think that they have that role in mind, and we know Harris can do all the above. You know, he's just a bigger version.
Yeah, just a big version of that. So, you know, another interesting day. Again, not the crispest of practice, but the Steelers got through another one here today. even though they had to move it up to 10:30 and to get that in. And then they had their walkthrough later
on rain again, right? Is that it again?
There's some rain in the area again, yeah.
It has been the case, obviously, for like 10 days in a row here.
Well, and the thing is it's easier if you move the practice up.
Mm-hmm. You can always bounce it back.
You can always push it back if it rains in the morning, but you can't move it back.
You don't want it to be 2:30 and be like, boy, we should have practiced at 10:30.
Right, yeah, yeah, right. So, you know, that makes some sense. We'll see what they do tomorrow. Mike Tomlin slated to talk to or scheduled to talk to the media at 11:30 tomorrow to go down, run down the depth chart.
Unless they're in the middle of practice.
Yeah, right. Which I think they're, you know, probably going to get that in the afternoon. I think it's the weather's supposed to clear up here a little bit.
Is it? I'll take a look at the break. I haven't checked in a while, but it looks a little dark here again.
Kind of sprinkled throughout practice. You know, never really rain, mm-hmm. but certainly not what we'd seen before. We got a little, you know, light sprinkles throughout the course of practice today here at St. Vincent College. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive. Matt, this team, they're going to finally get a preseason game.
Yeah, right, Saturday.
On Saturday, and it really is time. This acclimation, like 3 weeks of training camp practice is because of that acclimation period at the start of things. Mm-hmm. Really kind of stretches this out.
I don't know if you've paid much attention to, but I know you're aware. This has been the time of the season where you're starting to see two teams get together at someone's practice facility or, you know, because they're tired of hitting each other. They know everybody's tendencies.
Obviously, the Steelers weren't going to do that against the Seahawks. They're not going to have the Seahawks fly out here.
Topeka or something, right, or, you know, bring them out here. But, no, I mean, so I think a preseason game is long overdue. And I think we shouldn't overreact to whatever we see on Saturday, but I can't wait to analyze every play and every player on every play, basically, especially first half, third quarter, that type of thing. O-line, running game. I don't see the defensive front. I assume that when you guys talk to Coach tomorrow, he'll be addressing how he plans on using the quarterback, some of the preseason stuff, as well as the current depth chart, right?
Yeah. you know, that'll all happen, and that'll be the big news coming out of the, obviously, the who's going to be available, who's not. Guys who didn't practice today, they're really kind of short at linebacker.
Are they really?
Ulysses Gilbert is in a walking boot. Yeah. He's got one on his right foot. Marcus Allen's still out. Alex Highsmith was out again today with that rib injury. Junard Avery not practicing. So now you're already down four linebackers there.
That's two weeks or 2 days in a row for Avery, I think.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So, I mean, they're kind of short
and
there.
I don't want to play Watt that much.
Right, you're not going to play him. You're not going to play, you know, how much are you going to play Miles Jack or, you know, that kind of stuff. I could see them starting Devin Bush and Robert Spillane at inside linebacker and just letting those two go for, you know,
makes perfect sense to me.
A quarter and a half or, you know, whatever.
Maybe the whole second half is the Buddy Johnson show. Or
yeah, Buddy Johnson
like that,
and you know, the two, you know, and the rookie.
The young guys, Robinson,
yeah.
Yeah, that would make perfect sense. I mean, why have Jack out there in this situation? You want Bush to play a ton, I would think.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That would make a lot of sense.
I'm looking here at, you know, if you ask people about Devin Bush, reporters about Devin Bush out here, you get 12 different answers if you ask
one of the guys. It seems that way. I've noticed that. It's funny you brought that up.
So I'm looking here, and this is off of Pro Football Focus. And they have the risers and fallers from each camp. And they talked to a bunch of different reporters from around the league. Apparently didn't talk to anybody in Steeler camp.
Yeah.
Because they had, after each one, that they actually talked to somebody. They had who they spoke to at Steelers camp.
Okay. Nobody called you up, right?
Nobody called me.
I didn't get a call. Right.
So the riser was George Pickens. No surprise there.
That's an easy one, right?
That's a piece of, you know. The faller was Devin Bush, and I'm like, the Bush currently shares a spot on the Steelers depth chart with Robert Spillane. The two players are competing for the starting spot next to Miles Jack.
That seems like kind of abbreviated reporting and just going to the Steelers depth chart and saying there's one
A. Could have said the same thing about
right.
Kevin Dotson and Kendrick Green or whoever.
Exactly, exactly.
To me, I've heard
no one say Bush is at a bad camp.
No, he's not been bad. I mean, he's looked much better than he did last year at any point.
Certainly more explosive and as a mover and in changing directions and just running a straight line, all that stuff. I think he looks better than a year ago.
He actually did something today. That kind of like, okay, he must be feeling pretty spry.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in with the first couple of reps of seven shots on the defense.
Okay.
And then when they pulled him off, the defense got a couple of made a couple of plays or breakups. And as he's coming off the field, he jumped up and hung on the goalpost.
Really?
Like, he's 5'10".
I mean, that's
10 foot off the ground.
He's grabbing the rim, right?
Yeah,
and it's a big rim.
And you're coming back, you know.
In cleats.
Yeah.
Right.
With your surgically repaired knee.
Right? Yeah, maybe show off a little bit. Remember me at the combine?
He had a 40-inch vertical.
Right. And he's shorter. I mean, getting up is not as easy as some of these other dudes.
In full pads. Well, I guess they weren't full pads today, but still.
But still, that's not easy. I mean, you're not jumping off a hard surface. You're jumping off grass and cleats.
A little soggy.
No, I mean, we know the traits are there.
Yeah.
I mean, minus great size. I mean, all the traits are absolutely there. No one batted an eye when he went as early as he did.
No, that's revisionist history. Like, people coming out. I said they shouldn't take Bush. Nobody was saying
there
they shouldn't
take Bush.
There
wasn't many people in that camp, that's for sure, at the time. I mean, if you would have made the argument then that I would rather have what the Steelers gave up than Bush, I think that's logical. But I didn't hear a lot of those arguments, to be honest with you, when the time came. I mean, people forget what the status of that linebacker spot was when they went into that draft.
Yeah.
It was scary, you know.
Yeah, they were signing the Morgan Burnetts and guys of that nature
right.
to go. You know, John Bostic had just flamed out.
Yeah, anyone they could find.
Right, and now you know they've got a bunch of guys at that position. You know, so we'll continue to see how that. But I haven't seen him have a bad camp. In fact, I've liked a lot of the things that I've seen from him.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of attacking the line of scrimmage and you know diagnosing things and definitely in coverage.
In coverage and range in general.
I mean, he had a couple of pass breakups yesterday.
Right.
You know, I think he's been not wow, that was a great play, but just steady.
No doubt. And he's also – I keep making this excuse partially because I haven't been able to see practice for a while. But some positions, the games will be more telling.
Yeah.
You know, like, is he running with receivers as he should on Saturday night? Is he diagnosing plays? Is he beating blocks? Has he been, you know, is he playing fast in those situations? Those are the real tests for Bush to me. I mean, the linemen and running backs and linebackers in particular really need to, you know, show well in games. But everyone I've talked to, the eyeball test from me watching a lot of practice has never been, boy, I think Bush isn't going to make it.
Yeah,
I mean that's not been the thought at all.
Yeah, so I don't see that. I mean, you know, I've noticed some of the other younger guys, you know, making some splash plays here and there in terms of their run stopping, and Spillane shows up in that regard.
Sure,
but anytime
Jack shows up well,
yeah,
too. Yeah.
But anytime Robert Spillane is on the field, he might as well just put a red target on his back because the other team's going to throw at him.
I believe, and this will change with injuries throughout the year. But with their depth at D-line, the guys that are going to play a lot of snaps, like I forget how many we counted, 15 or 16 defensive players, I don't see one that is Waldo. There's one that everyone in the world is going to pick on. But if Spillane's out there, he's the one that
Waldo's there.
On. Right.
Yeah, you're going to go after him.
Yeah, and I'm not saying they have Dion and Woodson at every position. I mean, not all these guys are great, but I don't see any of them as liabilities as well as the depth guys behind them. But I do think if Spillane's out there, prepare to be making a lot of tackles after the catch, Robert, you know?
Yeah, they're gonna test him and go after him quite a bit because, I mean, that's just what you do.
That's what you do, right?
Yeah, the other team has coaches, too, and they'll figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a quality player. I'm not picking on Spillane.
No, not at all. I mean, he's an NFL player.
Yeah, yeah. But I think the Bengals want him to see the field in week one.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, a lot.
Yeah.
And he'll be getting, you know, they'll go in his way.
Absolutely. You know, Matt – I really think, you know, we're starting to see, I don't know about separation at this point, but there's definitely a line of delineation there, you know, between who the guys who are going to be starting. That might be the last one, and that may be cornerback opposite Cam Sutton.
Okay.
I think Kendrick Green is pretty much, they haven't said it, but I think he's kind of won that.
It sounds like he's grabbing the job by the throat.
And Kevin Dotson didn't practice again today. That makes it an easy choice.
Right. And availability has not been his strong suit. We know that as well.
Right.
Which it can't endear him to coaches. You need to see him out there. Any chance this happens, that let's assume Green's the left guard.
Okay.
Could Dotson be the right guard and Daniels the center?
When I talked to people earlier in camp, I was told, no, look, you know, Daniels is our right guard.
I got the impression when they signed him and watching and studying Daniels' career, one of the allures for him signing with the Steelers was they're going to finally leave me at right guard and not move me all over the place. I mean, that stunted his growth in Chicago.
Without a doubt, he was moved around.
Right guard, right.
Yeah, he can do that.
He can do it. He came to the league as a center more than a guard.
Yeah, but I specifically
you don't foresee that being the case, though.
I specifically asked Pat Meyer that first week of training camp. No, he's a center, or he's a right guard. That's what he's going to
we
do.
We just signed him to be our right guard. Yeah. He's our right guard. End of story. No,
and I think we may be underselling the newness of this for those guys. Again, I say this, just to remind people this again. All off season long, I was asked how long it was going to take the offensive line to gel.
Right. Like any of us know that answer.
And then,
by the way.
Three padded practices into this training camp.
Why does your line stink?
Oh my God! What's going on with the offensive line? Why aren't they five blocks of granite here?
Right.
I mean, it takes time.
It takes time, and that's a big time continuity position. They don't have anyone that's a true old veteran, 10-year DeCastro Pouncey that's been around the block with this team. They're all young. They're all going to learn. And frankly, they're not super talented either.
Right.
We know that. We know where the deficiencies are. But the whole could be greater than the sum of the parts,
right.
Especially the longer you play.
If you've got five average guys on your mm-hmm. offensive line, league average guys,
you'll take it.
You've got a top 12 offensive line unit.
Mm-hmm. And if you have five slightly below average guys, you probably have an average offensive line.
Yeah, you're probably 18 to 20, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. You don't have any deficiencies. Anybody that other teams can just go after.
Yeah,
because they will.
You'll lose the matchups, but if you're not blowing blocks and you understand the concepts and you're double teaming together for the right amount of time and moving on to get the next guy, doesn't mean you're going to put everyone on their back and pancake them over and over and you're just going to run over everybody. But if there isn't a guy or two that's just getting whipped, then you'll be fine. I don't know the answer to that, though. I mean, there might be their starting group might have a guy or two that's just going to keep getting whipped. I don't know that answer yet. We'll see.
Yeah. And it may be, matchup dependent. When you're playing the Browns, you're probably going to have to get Dan Moore some help.
Absolutely.
That's just the reality of it.
Yep.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. He's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't Nick?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Playing the Steelers, whoever's trying to block TJ Watt is going to get some help.
Right. I mean, that's one of many problems of playing the Steelers is, we know we got to help on Watt, but now it's really hard to help on Cam.
Right.
It's great to have an inside-outside complement. Like Donald in with the Rams, when he's got an edge guy, it takes everything up a notch.
Yeah.
Whether it's been Quinn or Von Miller or whomever, Chris Jones is at his best when Frank Clark was at his best. All those guys,
He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. We are live from Steelers training camp here at St. Vincent College in Latrobe. You are listening to The Drive and, of course, ESPN 970 here on Steelers Nation Radio. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I am Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson. This is The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio, and we appreciate you hopping in here with us on The Drive here live from St. Vincent College. And, Matt, lots of stuff happening around the league. Lots of stuff happening in Cleveland.
Yeah, I guess we have to start there as usual.
Yeah, this is just an ongoing situation. And Peter Harvey, who's going to hear the NFL's appeal of Deshaun Watson's six-game suspension, they're saying now that there's the potential that if he rules in the next 2 days, the league's going to push for him to be suspended immediately.
Immediately, okay.
Like, he doesn't play in the preseason, he has to leave camp.
Boom, you're gone. You're out of camp, right. And I think people know this, but if you're suspended, you're not allowed at the facility. You're not allowed to do anything. I don't think you can.
They'll make some. They will do some exceptions, and sometimes for those guys, they'll allow them to go through training camp.
Right.
And then
right.
once the season starts, you're
boom. You're suspended.
You're away. Yeah.
I always wondered, can they watch tape on an iPad? Can they?
I
think
so.
You can do that stuff. I just don't think you can be in attendance while you're suspended. You know, like I don't think you have to sit home and do everything totally on your own. You know.
Yeah.
But either way. Did a little bit of homework on this. You know, I'm tired of it to no end, but it's the biggest story in the league without question. Is the I hate talking legal stuff. It's like talking medical. Like I can talk football, but I don't know legal precedent, and you know, I don't know about bad knees and things like that. But I, you know, secondhand information. It sounded like that the judge, when she gave him the six games, basically said, "There's more here." But the way the law works in the world, outside the NFL, in the world, is we give sentencing by precedent. You know, that if you murdered 84 people, well, the last guy that murdered 84 people will give you a similar sentence. You know what I mean? And she looks back at the NFL and basically says, you guys don't have any precedent. You know, like, everything's so arbitrary over all the NFL suspensions. Like, this guy gets two games. Well, the same guy did something similar. He gets six games. Ridley bets $1,500 on a game. He's out for the year. How does that equate to Watson? You know, like, she really didn't have any precedent looking at it through a true lawyer's eyes.
Nobody else has fondled masseuses.
Right, but it's also the NFL's fault because they haven't – they're not real strict with their guidelines. If you do this, this, and this, it gets you one game. If you do this, this, and this, it gets you three games.
Yeah,
you
know, I mean, like the drug, really, the drug really policy nilly. Is laid out.
The drug policy is,
mentioned the Ridley stuff. The gambling stuff is laid out. Those are automatic things, but the personal conduct stuff is not.
No, it's kind of what they feel like that particular day or year.
How
or
egregious
it
was.
Right.
The temperature of the country at that point,
Your reflection on the league, you know, all those things. So she kind of looked at it and said, well, I'll just kind of go off precedence and I'll give them six. And obviously the league wasn't cool with that, and they're taking matters in their own hands. And Roger Goodell, instead of him taking it and being the guy, he's handing it off to one of his dudes. Fair enough. I mean, that doesn't matter. But then he comes out today and says words like egregious and I forget what the other word he said, predatory.
Well,
they had the
league meeting yesterday to approve the sale of the Denver Broncos.
Right.
And so this was the first time that Goodell had really been in public in front of reporters yesterday. And that's, of course, he was asked about Deshaun Watson.
And his tone wasn't for Mr. Watson, right?
No. Yeah, Cleveland's getting there. Again, I've gone over this. I'll do it again. Like, they're better off if he's suspended for this entire year.
The worst thing that could happen is they get to like a dozen games.
Right. 12 games would be the worst case scenario for them because now they got to pay him for this season. Now this counts. They can't toll that contract.
Right.
And say, well, the contract now starts next year because he was suspended all this year. Now, the only thing I wonder is, could the league say, we're not going to let you toll that?
I guess they could do that. Like, why would we do you that favor?
We're not going to do you any favors.
Right, right, right.
You made this mistake and signed him.
Yeah. This just didn't pop up yesterday either, by the way. You knew this. You know, there were lingering things when you made the contract. I guess they could. And they should, to be honest with you. Like,
why should the Browns benefit
from
him being suspended?
Especially, why should they benefit from him being suspended a year, which means he did something worse than 12 games.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, so that's counterproductive, in my opinion. And by no means, and we've talked to this in no end, too, I don't think they can be a contender if he rides in week 13 on a white horse to save the day.
Especially if he doesn't play at all in the preseason.
And he doesn't play in the preseason, didn't play last year. Like, the season for them is shot. However, if he gets a year and you add Jimmy, I think you can be a mediocre team and you hope the chips land where they want.
But still,
it's not the plan.
A, nobody's seen Jimmy Garoppolo throw a football pass, you know, at all. He didn't apparently start throwing a football until a couple of weeks ago because he had shoulder surgery in the offseason.
As we're seeing around here, it takes a little while, right? You know, I mean, I understand that the Stefanski offense is similar to what he's run through his career, and I'm sure he'll learn quicker than if he was thrown into an all-new system. But adding a quarterback this late in the process, like I even worry about Baker Mayfield coming in that late. Or if Jimmy goes to Seattle or whatever, you know, like I wouldn't count on instant production at all.
And not only that, do the Browns want to trade more draft picks for quarterbacks?
Just to survive this
year. Just to survive this year. They're
probably not.
Garoppolo doesn't make you a Super Bowl contender.
I don't think so. I mean, if it was Hunt for Garoppolo straight up, yeah, maybe, you know.
And the other problem is that you don't benefit from it.
No.
Because you don't even have your first round draft pick next year.
Right.
Like they could go 5-12 this year, have a top 10 pick, and they don't get it.
And they don't get it. They don't get Will Anderson or whoever they want, you know. And the other thing is, then all of a sudden, you've got like $80 million wrapped up in your quarterback room. You know, like this is not how we built this ship to try to sail it, you know, and it's a disaster. So I think it's going to go very poorly for Cleveland.
I think they're in trouble.
I think they're in deep trouble.
They're flailing away on a, you know, there's just enough room on the the door for what's her face from Kate Winslet to hold on to the board, and Leonardo DiCaprio is sinking fast.
Sinking fast. Yeah, 100%. I think that they made a egregious error, an aggressive move with all this, just thinking it would blow over or you get six games and then we'll be fine and, you know, live on for another day. And I think the league's just not going to take it, you know, which I commend the league for. They easily could turn the back's the wrong word, but they could have just said, all right, you got the six games, an arbitrator nailed it, and we'll move on. And then a year from now, it doesn't come up as much anymore. And, you know, I'm glad that's not the precedent they're setting for future endeavors.
Yeah, you know? The other part of this is, you know, the league wants him to have to reapply for or apply for reinstatement.
Once it's all done,
yeah. So there's no guarantee. You know, they want some stipulations put in there that he has to go to counseling, talk about this stuff. And
like, I'm sure he'll do those things, but that doesn't mean he's going to be a good boy or that he's going to get reinstated.
I mean, the cases that were involved here, with they were all in like an 18-month period.
Really?
Like, he went to like 60 masseuses in a 18-month period.
Wow. I didn't realize it was that condensed.
I mean, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
There's a New York Times report on that. I think it was New York Times.
Because there was no word of this, you know, coming out of Clemson or, I mean, I don't know if it's a new development in his life or whatever. But even like Josh Gordon, remember when he got suspended? Much different situation, totally substance abuse stuff. But he had to wait and reapply for reinstatement too. And that was not a slam dunk for him either.
Right.
You know. So that part of it would be a big deal for maybe for next year.
Yeah. They also
so if you're the Browns, are you just treating Brissett like the one?
Yes.
Even in the preseason and all that? Like, you got the season's close. We got to get ready.
I don't know exactly either. You know, they're already down draft picks. What would they have possibly to trade to San Francisco?
Kareem Hunt. I don't know if they want him.
I don't know if San Francisco would want Kareem Hunt. They got 72 running backs.
He also has some off-the-field stuff.
Right.
You know, so, you know. And costs money.
Yeah.
And he's a good player, but they may not want a running back. And we're happy with our guys. We've drafted one the last 2 years, and Mitchell's the number one. Sure, Hunt's better than them, but I don't know that I want to make that deal. I want picks, you know?
Yeah, picks.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about. Yeah, so that certainly bears watching here. And
hopefully it's soon, though.
I think it's going to.
It seems like it's bubbling. And, you know, like, let's just get this over with. I bet the league wants to get it behind them. And
oh, they absolutely 100% do.
100%, right. Yeah. And let's talk about football, and week one's coming, and every team's going to be in action, and turn on NFL Network, and there's a game in 24 hours.
Last thing you want is whatever network is carrying the Browns game to – okay, we're going to talk about Deshaun Watson this entire game.
Right.
Here's video of Deshaun Watson going through the preseason. Look at it. Deshaun Watson looks in this preseason game.
Oh, we're
they don't want that leading ESPN on Saturday or whatever day that they play.
Oh, we're breaking into Sunday Night Football to tell you about Watson's suspension. Or, you know, like, they want to be football and positive and, you know, all the stuff we really want to see. So, I mean, they're marketing people like anyone else, so I'm sure that they'll – get it over soon.
Pretty good at that stuff,
I do think that part's fair to the Browns, that no one is crying for the Browns, and I'm certainly not one of them. But I think they deserve, might not be the right word, but at least have a claim to, I'd like to know this stuff before the season starts.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no new evidence from what I gather.
Mike Tomlin apparently yesterday told CBS Sports, including Brian McFadden, who was here in camp yesterday, Mitch Trubisky leads the Steelers quarterback race, but Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph are making it difficult.
That's an interesting way of phrasing it. But
Mitch
okay.
Trubisky is going to be the Steelers' starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Let's get this out of the – like, this is not any kind of quarterback competition that I've ever seen.
No. I mean,
Trubisky's taken every snap with the first team.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, it's been a long time since there's been a quarterback competition around here. But you've been around a long time.
I've covered Steelers quarterback competitions.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not one of them.
This is not the way it goes.
This is not one of them. In fact, I talked to Matt Canada the other day.
They don't revolve the number two quarterback once in a while in quarterback competitions. That's really the only thing that's changed.
He said. Like, I'm trying to get Canada to say something about the quarterback. You know, is Mitch Trubisky the guy?
Mm-hmm.
And he said something about, well, you know, we've been rotating, you know, two and three pretty consistently.
But you're not rotating one.
And that's what I said. I was like, well, you've rotated as two and three, yes, but we've consistently seen Trubisky with the ones. And he kind of looked at me and smiled because
I caught him.
And he's like, yeah, but we haven't decided anything yet. It's decided.
That's fine. Yeah.
It's decided.
I don't blame him one bit for saying those things. And I think you want the league and some of these, I won't say dumb, but yeah, these national sites will still be like, oh, the biggest competition in Steelers camp is quarterback. Blah, 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 you know. And I think Tomlin's probably like, yeah, keep printing that stuff. You know, yeah. I want anyone to think that there is, but. Anyone close or not so close knows that Trubisky's a starter here. Practice has been handled accordingly. He's been handled accordingly since the day they signed him. You know, yeah. And it didn't change by using a first-round pick on a quarterback. I mean, he's the starting quarterback. That's the end of the story.
Yeah, I mean, he has done nothing.
He's not going to lose the job no matter what.
He's done nothing to lose the job, and that's what would have had to have happened.
Right. He could be a disaster in the preseason. They're still going to start him in week one.
Right. Because he's got the most experience, and he's the guy, you know, again.
Yeah. And he's been good here.
He's the guy that gives them the best chance to win in week one.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, if you want to talk about a competition in quotes between Rudolph and Pickett, fine. You know, I mean, that's sort of interesting. You know, that's like a little more interesting than talking about who the backup nickel is or, you know. But all in all, I think all the game plan for all three players to me is very well set out. Mitch, you're the guy. We hope you're the guy for the next 30 years, you know. Kenny, we loved you coming out of Pitt. Possibly there were 19 human beings in this draft we liked better than you. Maybe, probably not. But you were very high on our list. We want to develop you, and we have great hopes for you. But we don't think you're ready yet. Such is life. You know, keep working. Mason, you're not going anywhere because you're valuable to us, and you keep playing well. And as you said to open the show, day after day, Mason kind of does the same thing here.
Yeah.
And he's a quality player. You know,
I want to talk about that when we come back.
Okay.
More about that situation. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. We are live from St. Vincent College, and we'll be back with more right after this.
With Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I am Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. This is The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. I guess we're having some technical issues on Steelers Nation Radio, but we are being broadcast here on ESPN 970.
Yeah.
And Matt, you mentioned Mason Rudolph. It's kind of been the steady Eddie kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
At this camp.
It's a constant, you know.
I still get questions about when are they going to trade Mason Rudolph? Like, why don't they trade Mason Rudolph? Why are people so quick to want to get rid of Mason Rudolph and have Kenny Pickett be the number two? First of all, if Pickett's number two, that means Chris Oladokun is number three.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't taken – like, he's taken like –
none of those guys done anything.
You'd have two
one of those guys done anything.
Two backups.
I mean, Pickett's practiced, but I mean, they haven't done anything in NFL.
But your two backups are two guys who have never thrown an NFL pass. That's what happened in 2019.
And your first-round pick looks overwhelmed.
Yeah, that's what happened in 2019. Now, Mason Rudolph wasn't a rookie at that point. He was a second-year guy.
But he was.
But he'd never thrown an NFL pass.
I mean, this version of Mason Rudolph is much better than that one.
Head and shoulders above it.
See, people don't get that part of it, in my opinion. Like, I think they look at it and be like, well, I remember when he got thrown in there, you know, when Ben was down and he wasn't so great. And as we often say, you can get better, and he's definitely gotten better. His practices are better than then. I'm sure his games will also be better. He's been around the block. He understands the speed of the game. Again, he's a constant. And, folks, here's the thing is, what do you think you'll get in return for Rudolph?
Nothing that compares to the value that he has to this team right now.
I mean, best case scenario, I think you get a fifth. And that's like maybe the Colts adore him and they want a younger guy behind Ryan or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe they'd give you a fifth. I think you get a sixth or a seventh for him. That's not worth anything.
That's not worth it. No, it's just not worth it.
For an NFL quarterback that his age that can play snaps and is familiar and is valuable on game day.
Yeah, if you look at the backups, I'm looking here. This was from CBSSports.com earlier this year, ranking the backup quarterbacks.
Ooh, that exercise is rough.
In the league. And so they have their top 10, the best of the vets.
Mm-hmm.
These are the 10.
By the way, the Bengals would kill for Mason Rudolph.
Oh, absolutely. You know what I mean? I don't even know how they're running a practice right now.
Right.
With the guys that they have.
One of the Allens that isn't the one in Buffalo.
Yes, that's the wrong Allen.
Right.
So Tyrod Taylor with the Giants is considered the 10th best veteran backup.
Fair enough. He's done it in a long time, but that's the case with Chase Daniels and all these guys that have been sitting on the bench. You assume they don't get worse, but
they do.
They do. Yeah. I mean, he's not the same in year 10 as he was in year 6.
Andy Dalton with the Saints is considered on that list.
Okay. I mean, I think a generic team would have a better chance of winning a game with Dalton than Rudolph, but I think it's close.
It's pretty close, yeah.
I mean, Dalton does nothing for me.
Jacoby Brissett. Well, he's going to be a starter now. This came out a little while ago. So the Browns.
I prefer Brissett to Rudolph.
But so the Browns' backup, though, right now.
Is Dobbs or Rosen?
Dobbs or Rosen.
Right. Like that's Mason, as bad as it gets.
Mason Rudolph's way better than those two.
Way better than those two. Yeah, I see your point now. Yes. But I don't think Brissett and Rudolph are that much different either.
No.
I prefer Brissett, but not by leaps and bounds.
With Case Keenum, it's Case Keenum's with the Bills.
He got moved, yeah. I mean, they traded for him.
He's ordinary as grits.
He's the Colt McCoy,
yeah.
Chase Daniel, been in the league for a million years and will be for a million years, and is okay.
Taylor Heinicke with the Commanders.
Very limited talent.
Yeah.
But he's tough and been around the block. You know, he'll last another 8 years in the league.
I might rather have Rudolph, though.
Oh, I think I would.
Yeah.
I think I would. I think Washington would, too.
Five is Gardner Minshew. I'll take Gardner.
I'm a Minshew fan.
I'll take
that
Minshew.
Is him, yeah. I think he brings a little more swagger and stuff to the
Colts,
table.
Yeah. The Colts backup right now is Nick Foles.
I forgot that,
too. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yuck.
He's another one that'll last forever. I mean, so many of these guys are the same mold.
Yeah.
And Rudolph might have a similar career as these guys that last for a long time, quality backup. But I think there's more to be written with him as opposed to Case Keenum and especially Nick Foles or, you know, Colt McCoy or, you know.
The Dolphins brought in Teddy Bridgewater and
I
gave
think
him
he's
money.
The best name you mentioned, yeah.
And gave him money.
Yes.
Which
is really just a red flag on their starter.
Right.
I'm not a Bridgewater fan at all, but I think his track record's pretty solid. He's a better version of Dalton at this stage. I think he's the best name you mentioned. I'd take him over Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
I think I'd take him over anyone that the Seahawks are going to trot out there.
But here's some of the other backups around the league. The Cardinals is Colt McCoy.
All right.
I'd rather have Rudolph.
Yeah.
The Seahawks, it's either going to be Drew Lock or Geno Smith because one of them's going to win the starting job.
To be fair to Lock. If we're still going to say Rudolph has a chance to improve in his career.
He does as well.
I think Locke does
Geno
as well.
Geno Smith is what he is, though.
He is what he is. And we saw him here last year. I mean, he's fine for a game or two, as was the case with a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
And then everyone realizes their faults. Or he's good for a drive or a half or two games. He's not good for six.
No.
He's not good for extended stretch. Because
you're not going to win a lot.
No, they get exposed. I mean, Heinicke's a perfect example. He just doesn't throw the football well enough. And the defenses know these things about these guys now. It might take a game or two till you see it really implemented on the field. But they're going to make Heinicke throw outside the numbers, and they're going to crowd the middle of the field, and eventually he'll get exposed and make throws he shouldn't.
Chad Henne is with the Chiefs. You recruited Chad Henne at Pitt, right?
There are very few that I remember their high school tape.
Well, there's another guy on here. We're going to get to him as well. Chase Daniel with the Chargers
made so much money for doing so little.
Yeah,
good for him.
C.J. Beathard with the Jaguars.
GM's grandson that every coach adores. he'll probably be Frank Reich 20 years from now, you know, right. Or Peterson or Garrett or one of those guys.
Brandon Allen right now is taking first team snaps for the Bengals.
He's one of the wrong Allens.
I mean, right. Again, I don't know how you run a practice with Brandon Allen.
Day after day. Right.
Yeah.
Do you think Jamar Chase is loving that right now? You know,
Josh Johnson and Brett Rypien with the Broncos.
Josh Johnson. We didn't recruit Josh Johnson, but I bet his high school tape was. He's been with like 22 teams.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that doesn't include his USFL and all that
leagues
stuff. Yeah.
And yeah, 22 teams or something like that. And some of them for a week, some of them for a month, you know. Good for him. He's a millionaire, I'm sure, and he's lasted a really long time. But wow.
Kyle Allen with the Texans.
I don't know if there's any difference between the non-Buffalo Allens, but okay.
Yeah.
All those Allen wrenches are the same size.
Blaine Gabbert with the Buccaneers.
I mean, I'd much rather have Rudolph.
Without a doubt.
Right. I mean, maybe I'd rather have Trask.
Yeah, that's a different conversation.
Totally different conversation.
But he's not the backup.
If Brady gets hurt.
Blaine Gabbert's playing.
Perfect example with what the Steelers. I mean, no one hears Tom Brady. I'm not saying that. But I'm sure in week one, whoever the Bucs play, Gabbert's going to be active and Trask won't.
Right.
Does that mean Trask is junk? Not necessarily.
No, because if Brady were to get hurt for long term, they'd probably turn to the young guy.
Yeah. Right. If Brady never plays again for the Bucs starting today, I'm sure Trask would get his chance. But on week one, if Brady gets hurt in the fourth quarter, Gabbert gives you a better chance to win.
You want the guy who gets you in and out of the game.
And that's Rudolph. Yeah. And Rudolph's better than Gabbert.
With the Bears is Trevor Siemian.
So he started, what, like half a year?
Yeah.
And will be eternally an NFL player.
Yeah.
And never really did much of anything. Okay.
The Patriots is Brian Hoyer.
I recruited him.
You recruited him.
Yep, we actually turned him down. He wanted to be a Panther and end up going to Michigan State. Yeah. St. Ignatius in Cleveland.
Yeah,
I think.
Here's another one. Joe Flacco with the Jets.
Yep. Joe's a little different in that he had a really good career, you know, and he's probably just hanging on a year or two too long.
But they want to keep paying you.
If they keep paying me, I'll keep coming back. Yeah. And I don't know that he's the best mentor in the world either, but he's had a good career. And, you know, nobody wants him to start anymore.
No.
Yeah, right.
Jared Stidham with the Raiders.
Like if Brady got hurt, I don't think they're banging on the door to go bring in Flacco. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. The Raiders brought in Jared Stidham.
Okay.
Cooper Rush.
That's just Josh McDaniels liked him, right.
Cooper Rush with the Cowboys.
It amazes me they don't have some. But they had Dalton a couple years ago. Yeah. They just don't have the money.
John Wolford with the Rams.
Yeah, now we're just getting into the cheap backup.
Yeah. Sean Mannion with the Vikings.
And there's a logic behind some of these guys is, well, Stafford gets hurt, our season's shot anyway. Yeah. Such is life. You know, I'm not going to pay the backup. The drop-off's too short. I'd rather give that money to, you know, any other position, which I sort of understand. But, you know, going the Cooper Rush Mannion route where they don't make anything and hope that they develop is not wise.
And the final one is David Blau with the Lions.
That's who he is.
Like, there's about a dozen names there, and I'd rather
one
have
– One name they didn't bring up, though, is Huntley with Baltimore.
Yeah, he's listed under the young guys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think he still has a chance. Everyone overreacted to two or three
games. They most certainly did,
He got exposed, too, but – I'll take him over Blau.
He threw sideways like crazy.
And he runs. Yeah. So he's a great backup for Lamar.
But he's still never won it. He's never won a game as a backup. And they had a team last year that when he began to start was like 8-4.
Yeah. They
he
were
didn't
winning,
win a game.
Right.
Like Rudolph has won games in the NFL.
Right.
Important games.
You don't want Rudolph to run the Ravens system.
No, of course not.
And you don't want Huntley to run the Steelers system.
Correct.
I mean, there's no question about
that.
Well,
you might now.
Maybe more so than years past, but he's not going to run the Ram system.
No.
He's in the right team, but he's a backup.
Rudolph is a top 12 backup in the league?
Yes. I think he's a top – I'm very comfortable saying he's a top 45 quarterback in the league. You know, what's hard about quarterback rankings is he better than Zach Wilson? Maybe. Yeah. But we're never going to know. I mean, some of these guys, the year one and two guys – is he better than is he better than Pickett? Is he better than Willis? Is he better than Ritter? I have no idea.
I've seen him with Pickett on the field.
Count.
Yeah,
you're right.
But
I mean, if him and Ritter were in direct competition, who knows? I mean, I don't think he's as good as Mariota. I don't think he's as good as probably 31 starters.
Yeah.
Brissett, I would prefer. Seattle guys, I would not prefer. But I think he's. Those are the comps.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
you know, he's, again, in that top 45 conversation.
Right.
You're just going to give him away.
Like David Blau's not in the top 45 conversation.
No.
There aren't many on that list that's in the top 45 conversation.
Like if they had to start Mason, they had to start Mason Rudolph. Let's say Trubisky got hurt in the preseason.
And they just think Pickett's totally not ready.
But he's only going to miss like a game or two.
Yeah.
You're starting Mason Rudolph in the opener.
Yeah. I mean, you.
The idea is to win football games.
Yeah, I guess that's a better example. I was going to say Trubisky plays the first four games. They're 2-2. He's playing well. Everyone's happy with him. Rolls an ankle. He's going to miss one game. I assume Rudolph would start.
Yeah.
I mean, if he was 0-4 and Trubisky's been awful,
yeah.
Maybe that's the time you go then to you, the rookie
then you, yeah,
and
then you
sink
go
or
to the
swim
kid.
With him. Right.
But you're not going to just – because they don't want to throw Pickett into the wolves here. That's where guys get ruined.
I mean, I can even hear things – to take your conversation about, hey, guys, Trubisky's the starter even further and Rudolph's the backup. I keep hearing things, or if I'm on a radio station that's not Pittsburgh, they'll ask me, well, Pickett's definitely starting after the bye, right?
No.
I'm like, I don't know that to be true at all.
Right.
I would bet not. I mean, Trubisky would have to be a failure. Could he fail? Of course he could.
Right.
But he would have to be a failure to even consider that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970, live from training camp here at St. Vincent College. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Hour 2 right after this.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.